Okay, Sunday night, women's shiur, what we called special edition. First of all, thank you for coming. Since you don't come every Sunday night, it means it's really impossible for you to get out. So tonight it also was impossible, and still you came. So I appreciate that. What happened is I give an Yaakov shiur in the shul on Shabbos. And Yaakov is a compilation of the Agodos of Shas. What exactly the Ein Yaakov did, he just took out the Agadas, you know, he compiled it, he edited it, and he wrote a Perush on it. So we're learning it, and I came across a Gemara that was puzzling, and I delved into it a little. And then, really, with Siyata Deshmaya, it just all came together, and it was so linked to the things we learned about here in the Shir, in Shara Avodas Elokim, Chovas Halavos, Shara Avodas Elokim, and his Hakdama and his whole approach to mitzvahs and Avodas Hashem, and it just all came together, and the Gemara was, all of a sudden I had such a, Baruch Hashem, like a deep, healthy insight into the Gemara that I wouldn't have had. I thank you, ladies. And then I said, you know, let me make a shiur out of this because it really pulls it all together. And it's sort of a summary of Shara Avodas Elokim as we learned it. And we're not finished it yet, so whoever wants to join us could now not feel that they missed anything. We're giving a summary and a synopsis. But it's really, as I wrote in the publicity blurb, I hope it's a useful shiur, no matter what, in terms of chinuch yiladim also. Okay, it's 9:15, I could stop. So I'll even take you through the path of how I came to this. I was learning a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas says, the Gemara describes a certain Amora, Rav Brona, as being an Adam Gadol, because he's Sameach b'mitzvahs. He has a simcha when he doesn't. He's Sameach b'mitzvahs. That's how the Gemara describes him. The particular mitzvah the Gemara talks about, the Gemara picks one mitzvah. It's a little weird. The Gemara picks that he was Sameach Geula l'tfila. You probably know what that means. He made sure to say the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael, and immediately say Shmona Esrei, which is the din. And he was medactic in that din. Maybe he didn't pause at all. Maybe he davened vasikin, some suggest, and that's the optimum way of doing it. V'lo posak chucha mipume. And he had a big smile on his face the whole day. That's the Gemara. So, just looking at the Gemara, you want to know, the Gemara obviously extols doing a mitzvah b'simcha. And there's an Adam Gadol. And then, if you're a man, you say, why did the Gemara, I'm sorry, nothing personal. You know, you think Gemara think, like, why did the Gemara choose this mitzvah to say it about? Like, so if he was Sameach b'mitzvahs, then every mitzvah he did. That means there's something, I don't know if that's the right word, there's something quintessential about this mitzvah that would make sense, that this would be the epitome of the idea of being Sameach b'mitzvahs. Now, we're perhaps familiar with the pasuk that says in the Tochacha in Dvorim, in Parshas Kisavo, that Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, Tachas Asher lo avadato, as Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tov lev, v'avadato as oivecha, beirom v'b'chor sokol, etc. Hashem will punish you because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha uvetuv lev. Now the simple meaning of the pasuk just is talking about that you had it good and you were rich and you had wealth and you had it good, you were b'simcha and you had merov kol, you had things, and you didn't serve Hashem despite all the gifts He gave you. So mida keneged mida. That's, I think, the simple meaning of the pasuk. But it has the meaning that we're perhaps more familiar with the other meaning than with the simple meaning, is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Lulav says as follows, HaSimcha, the simcha that a person feels, that a person sheyismach adam basiyas hamitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, you're besimcha, uba'avas hakel, and you just have an emotion of love and bonding with Hashem, avoda gedolahi. It's this in itself. In other words, we're not talking about the mitzvah. We're talking about the simcha when you do a mitzvah. Is an avoda gedola. It's something to work on, and it's not easy. It doesn't come automatically. And v'chol hamoneya atzmo misimcha zu, the Rambam says, whoever, you know, makes light of it. Oh, that's good for Hasidish people, maybe for Breslova with the yarmulke, nanach. But like, you know, I do a mitzvah. I'm a Litvish guy. Straight face, maybe a little sour, angry at the world. I do the mitzvah, and so the Rambam says, "V'chol hamoneya atzmo misimcha zu, ro'i lipara mimenu." He's worthy of; he deserves to be punished for the lack of simcha. Shenemar, and the Rambam quotes this pasuk, and that's really the more, ironically, the less simple pshat in the pasuk has become the more famous pshat in the pasuk, probably because of this Rambam. Shenemar tachas Hashem lo avadato, Hashem elokecha b'simcha b'tuv lev, which is amazing when you think about it. It means the pasuk is saying you did the mitzvahs, but you were a sourpuss about it. You didn't have a feeling of elation. You weren't thrilled to be doing the mitzvah, like you're thrilled if you win the lottery, like you're thrilled when something finally works. You know, when your refrigerator didn't break down right before Yontif, like you're happy, and so you do a mitzvah, and you don't have that feeling of joy. You get punished for not having that feeling of joy. This Rambam's interpretation of the pasuk has many other sources, which I printed out for myself, but you can have. I made a copy in case anybody wants it. It's Rabbeinu Bechaya's interpretation of the pasuk as well, in Rabbeinu Bechaya al HaTorah. Sefer HaIkrim, which is a famous Jewish philosophy sefer written by a Rishon, he talks about this inyan at length. We have Rav Chaim Vital in the name of the Arizal, that the simcha, when you do a mitzvah, is a primary obligation. And you're missing the whole kishkes. You're missing the whole almost. Well, I want to explain this. You see, you're missing the whole point of the mitzvah if you don't have this feeling of simcha. Which, really, I mean, we should be sitting here with a puzzled look on our face. Like, really, Hashem is going to punish us for not feeling simcha when we do a mitzvah? I mean, I'm doing the mitzvah. Like, leave me alone. You know, if you want me to be besimcha, so. Tell me, you know, be mafresh challah and be besimcha, daven and be besimcha, you know, any mitzvah we do, you have a mezuzah on your door, be besimcha. Punish? Really? Punish? So we're going to see. Actually, we're more familiar maybe with Pirkei Avos, where it says, schar mitzvah mitzvah, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, and one of the Rav's, the Bar Tanura's interpretations, is that Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah is that the enjoyment and the Simcha, you're enjoying doing the Mitzvah. Bezos Hashem, I want to explain that feeling of enjoyment. The enjoyment you feel in doing the Mitzvah is a Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. That in itself is a Mitzvah, and now you get Schar for that also. So tzchar mitzvah mitzvah means the enjoyment that you feel when you do a mitzvah, you also get tzchar for, you also get rewarded for. And I don't know, maybe it keeps going. Now that that's a mitzvah, so you can enjoy the fact that you enjoy the mitzvah. And you can keep going. And I really don't want to just read the material that I amassed, that it's really something very, very chashuv. Rizal and Rambam. So, Simcha Shel Mitzvah. I think the Sefer Ikrim's Lashon is, it gives Shleimus to the Mitzvah, and if you don't, right, this is really an important description of it. If you don't do a Mitzvah B'Simcha, it's lacking in Shleimus, you're missing something. There's a famous story about someone hid. And the Chafetz Chaim would go make a Cheshbon HaNefesh up in his attic or some private room. He would make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. even though Rabbi Padowitz's book wasn't out yet, but apparently he was able to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh before it came out. And it will come out Mitzvah Hashem soon in time for Elul, Bezus Hashem. But there is a Sefer called Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh, by the way, a famous Sefer. And one of the Sha'orim in Chavetz Halvavos is called Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the Chavetz Chaim would go make a Cheshbon, and someone wrote up what they heard him do and how he did it. And that's a story in itself. One day we'll read he wrote a column, he wrote a description of it. And like, what was the Chavetz Chaim doing tshuva about already? Like, what did he do? So he bewailed and cried and did tshuva over the fact that he didn't summon up enough simcha when he did a mitzvah. He did it because he got to do it. He didn't have that total feeling of joy and elation. So that's a story. The Rambam, the Pasuk, I mean, it's an amazing Pasuk. Hashem's punishing us for not being besimcha. First of all, I mean, it's nice. I'd like to be besimcha also. We have to why is the mitzvah not missing shleimus? You could say it's an added quality that I am happy that I don't know. First of all, what am I supposed to feel happy about? Is it Hashem bochar bonu mikol ha'amim? Wow, I'm Jewish. I'm doing Hashem's will. Hashem loves me. I love Hashem. I'm going to go to Gan Eden. What exactly are you feeling joy about? That's one question that comes to mind. And it's so important. Like, you're going to be punished if you don't feel joy. Pashtus, one would think, like a Lomdisha question. It's an added quality. You know, I do the mitzvah. Hashem said, do this, I do it. I can have many motives. I should do it lishma, not because necessarily I want to go to Gan Eden, or because I'm afraid Hashem will punish me if I don't do it, but because I understand that Hashem tells me to do something, I have to do it. Okay, you know, that's good. That's like, I'm flying. I'm a tzaddik, you know. I wish I would get through life doing mitzvahs and not doing averus because I'm afraid of punishment. I mean, believe me, I wish I would be holding there. And he tell me, okay, not fear of punishment because I want Gan Eden. Like, what's wrong with wanting Gan Eden? He promised us Gan Eden. I'm like, there's something wrong with wanting it? No, I'm such a tzaddik, I do it only because Hashem told me to do it. So, okay, so then you tell me, you gotta be joyful. If you're not joyful, it's a pagam, it's a flaw, F-L-A-W. It's a flaw in the mitzvah. It's not sholem, and Hashem will actually punish you. And there's a downhill slide. That's what it means, the pasuk. It's in the tochacha. It means there's a downhill slide. Hashem, you start not having simcha, and it's downhill from there. So what simcha are we supposed to feel? A joy. What joy? That we're Jewish, that we're doing Ratzon Hashem. Okay. That's as far as I got when I was learning the Gemara in Brachas. And Rav Bruno, he's an Adam Gadol, he's Sameach B'mitzvahs. So then I realized, you know, that we're learning B'chavis HaLvavis, Sharon Vodas HaLokim. And in his Hakdama to the Sha'ar, in his introduction, he says things that we didn't quite, or I didn't explain it well, or I didn't quite understand it myself. And now, because to understand this Gemara, it came together, and I understand it, and I want to share it with you. It's like an insight. I understand it fully, not fully, of course, it's Torah. Torah, you always understand more and more. But I understand it more fully than a few months ago. Chavetz HaLvavos, in his Hakadoma, says, and as Meirich, he actually spends a lot of time saying it, that he says, he wants to know where, he asks a remarkable question that anybody in this room, I assume, would be embarrassed to ask. But the Chavetz HaLvavos was not embarrassed to ask it. He was embarrassed, maybe. He didn't have to worry where he'd send his kids to school, I guess. So. He asks, why do we have to serve Hashem? Why? Is it so childish as, well, you have to because Hashem said you have to and he's going to punish you if you don't? That's childish. That's not a good reason. He wants a pnimi reason. He wants a reason. And as he develops Shara Avodas Elokim, it turns out he wants a reason why a person would want to. And he rejects as a lower form of avoda if a person feels compelled to. I have to, compelled, by compelled, I'm sorry, it's a bad word, because compelled could be panimi also, that I feel compelled to do something because I want to do it. So I'm compelled min hachutz, forced. Something's coercing, some form of coercion. Now the coercion might be punishment, the coercion, threat of punishment, the coercion might be a promise of reward he looks at as a form of coercion. He wants it to spring from a person's innermost being, that I want to serve Hashem. This is something I want to do. This is what he goes on in Shara Avodas Elokim. The Hakdama explains where that feeling is going to come from. What's the wellspring of that feeling? In the Shara itself, what we learned the first few prakim, he explains that that's where you want to get to. And we talked about how important this is in chinuch of children. I mean, it's a development. Maybe you don't start with this, but you want to end with this. As they get older, you want them. But let's forget about children. Let's talk about us. We're still children in Avodas Hashem, or at least I am. Chavis Aldadus wants us to serve Hashem because we want to serve Hashem, because we understand it's correct, and we are flawed human beings if we don't. He wants it to come from a ratzon panimi. He doesn't want it to come from, we have to. You have to. What are you going to do? You know, I was born into this life or whatever, and I have to do it. I'm stuck. Oh, I enjoy it. It's great. But we're stuck. That's not good. He wants us to really feel that we want to do this. We want to do this. And he calls it Ha'ara Sichlis as opposed to Ha'ara Toranis. This is what he does in Shara Avodas Elokim. And he relates that. I'll come back to it. It'll all make sense at the end, hopefully. He relates that to the way we do a mitzvah. Not if you're doing it because, like, you have to do it, or you want it, you know, you have to do it. Because you have to, even out of a sense of responsibility. We're not talking about evil people, we're talking about good people. Tzadikim, you know, but they're doing it out of a sense of being compelled and coerced. An outside force making them do it. So then he says that you're going to relate to a getting away with it, yotzei zayin, an outward action. Do it, don't do it. Rules, ritual. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. When you serve Hashem out of an inner feeling of ratzon, you want to do this. This is something you really want to do this. Then you're going to relate to the mitzvah, to the concept behind the mitzvah. Your lev is involved. You want it to be meaningful to you. You're going to make sure it's meaningful to you. You're not going to just go through the motions. You're going to want to learn and understand, like, what am I doing? Why is this, you know, I want to serve Hashem, you know, so I take chal, you know. If that doesn't fill my emotional need, my intellectual need to serve Hashem, I want to know how Hashem is served this way. That, then I'll be satisfied when I understand it, when I can relate to it. And that's what he calls Ha'ara Sichlis, intellectual inspiration, as opposed to Ha'ara Toronis, which is rule-oriented inspiration. where we're given a set of rules. Everything's based on the Hakdama, though. And in the Hakdama, he says a really a remarkable thing, which we maybe know or pay lip service to, but he wants us to do it. He says, our service of Hashem has to stem from a sense of gratitude. Everything comes from that. We serve Hashem because we have gratitude. And let me explain. It's a whole shahr, a hakdama, but I'll explain it. We've all been in a position where we've felt gratitude towards someone. Maybe, I hope so. Right? Imagine someone saves your life. Imagine someone saves the life of your child. Right? So, Chavis HaLvavos describes gratitude, the emotion of gratitude, and then he says, and I think we all understand that it's true, maybe we never thought about it, but if you think back to when you felt gratitude, a deep felt gratitude towards someone, you want to acknowledge it. If someone saves, imagine someone saves your life and then runs away. You don't know who it is. I think everyone in this room would hire a detective to find out who that person was, just so you can say thank you. You feel, and Chaim Salvador says, we are flawed as human beings. Hashem wired us that if we don't acknowledge the gratitude, we're kafui tov. We don't acknowledge the gratitude, it's not menschlich. He says, and you know why you have to serve Hashem? Because you're a decent human being. Otherwise, you're a flawed human being. You're a terrible person. You're a terrible person. You're like a sad excuse for a human being. What does it mean? Imagine someone saves your life. Hashem created us. We have to walk around with a sense of we don't know where to start. We don't know where to start. I quote Nishmas, Ilu Finu Maleshira Kayom. Right? People say, right? Someone says, I have a big mouth. So I say Nishmas, I ask Hashem for a big mouth. I say, I want a mouth as big as the oceans. Ilu Finu Maleshira Kayom. Our mouths is as broad as the oceans, and we just pray, we just thank Hashem. You have to understand, the Chavis HaLvavos says, Hashem created us. So first of all, you know, we think of ourselves as existing, and now we're making decisions. Should we do Hashem's will? Shouldn't we do Hashem's will? What's for supper? You know, it's like part of, but we forget that we don't have a right to exist. Hashem created us. If you think about someone saving your life, saving the life of your child, and the enormous gratitude that you feel, and that you'll feel indebted to that person. That's what the Chavis HaLvavos says. You feel a debt, and the debt is to acknowledge the gratitude. You want the person to know that you are thankful. You don't have to save his life in return. That's not the emotion of the human being, or emotion, or even the intellectual hergish, the intellectual understanding. Oh, he saved my life, I have to save his. That's childish. That's not the payback. You think. You want to express your gratitude. You want the person to know that you appreciate what they did. And now you think of Hashem. And Hashem created us. So as soon as we were conceived, we're already like way behind in our gratitude. Because if Hashem created me, like, how can I thank him enough? Imagine the thanks you would give someone for saving your life. Right? And here's the person, the power that created you. And Shlozani Goy, Shlozani Ovid, Shlozani Isha. Whoops.
right? It could have been a rock.
It could have been an island, okay? It could have been a tree. It could have been an animal. It could have been... So it's like we're already behind, way behind. Then we spend 9 months as fetuses. And, you know, what did we do? We didn't do anything to deserve. And you read up a little about the miraculous, the miracles that happen. So we're behind, you know. So we're always behind. And that's why we say, Ilu finu moleshiro kayom, ulu shunenu rino kahamon galov, v'sifsosenu shevach kemerchavei ro'kia. These are words. Ve'inenu me'iros ha'shemesh v'chayareach v'radenu v'rut. Ein anachno maspikim lohodus l'cha Hashem alokenu v'l'kevel seinu al'achas me'elef alfei alofim v'ribeg v'vavos pavim atavos. And that's not talking about history. Mitzrayim galtonu Hashem alokenu v'v'isavodim v'disonu v'rov zantonu v'sovodim. History. Look where we are today. Look how we got here. Look what we survived. Look at it. It's mind-boggling, right? That's why this comes after Shaar HaBechina. He says, study biology, study physics, study history, study all the disciplines, and your mind's going to explode with what Hashem does. You take a walk, look at a tree, look at a sunset, think about the atmosphere, think about your blood. I was going to say, a person said, I took a blood test. There's like 40 things there, right? 40. Why should my blood show... Why should my blood show anything? Blood is blood. Like we take it for granted. My urine. Why should my urine show disease? Like, it's crazy. Blood, urine, and it shows if there's something wrong with you. It's amazing. Anyway, Shaar HaBechina develops that, and there's so many. Not so many, but there are books now. You develop a sense of gratitude to Hashem. Wow. And then, like, every step we take, every move we make, every thought we think, everything. Gratitude. It says the Chavis HaLavavus. That's it. Avodas Hashem is merely, I found a way to express my gratitude. And till I can express, and I'll explain how and why, Mitzvah Shem. Now I want to tell a very personal story, which I told the ladies. But I think, I have to check too, because I don't want my wife to hear.
She promised never to tell.
No, it's very personal. No, I don't care if she knows I did it, but if she hears it, that's... No, it's just a personal story. It's... Like, if I have to think about my life, and I think, like, what was the most intense feeling of gratitude? No one ever saved my life. No one ever saved my child's life. Right? So I'm trying to, like, imagine, like, intense gratitude. So I have a son who chose to go his own way, and he moved to America when he was a bacher, and he's going to go to work. He went to yeshiva, go to work, he's going to hang around, you know. So I don't have to tell you what a parent goes through when your son and that, when you yourself realize that it's better for him to not to be here. And but, you know, where's he going to be? He's going to be in the pool hall. Where's he going to be? What's he going to do? He's going to take a room by himself in New York, huh? Yeah, oh boy. You don't want to think about it. And you start worrying, he'll become not from, you know. So he ended up living by my sister. Baruch Hashem, he agreed to do that. So my sister and brother-in-law in Flatbush actually had him as a son in the house from age 16 to 21, 22. And he lived with them. He came home for Pesach. He came home to our house, Pesach and Sukkot. We always had him home. We were always on good terms. There was never a break, a fight. But they raised him. They shepherded him through, you know, and they saw what time he came home at night. Davening. I mean, they weren't his parents, but He was in a mezgeret. And then the Eibishter was very kind to us, and he met a nice girl, a normal girl, a girl that wanted a boy that works, Shemayim, a tsnua, a good girl, good girl. Which you don't think, in my circles, you don't think that's going to happen if you're not learning. Right? That's a very big fear. What tramp is he going to hook up with? You know, someone he met in the sports bar on Sundays. You know, he went to these places on Sundays to watch football. Okay, so, and I realized at the wedding, I talked to my wife about this. Really, like the feeling of Hakaras HaTov. I'm not talking about the Eibishter. I'm talking about Hashem. Which it's like a kal v'chomer, like what can we do for them? Like this is, like, it was such an intense. And if you've ever had this intense, so now I'll describe it. There's like an intense feeling of gratitude. We always feel like this every day in different ways, in very small ways. I'm just describing an extremely intense matzav because that enabled me to analyze. And then to understand what the Chaim Salvavus says. And he just says it, and you read it, and you learn it, and you know, okay, you don't know if it's true. But if you've ever been in this situation, you really know it's true. You know, there's an intense feeling of gratitude and a feeling of indebtedness. How can I pay this person back? And then you realize that really the best way to pay them back is to, I don't have to do it to that child. That's fake. That's phony. Really, all I have to do is acknowledge. That's all I have to do. Is then they will feel. You know, till I pay them back, I'm not a mensch. And I'm bursting. How can I thank them? How can I express my gratitude? And this is what the Chabad Chassidus says in his.